also I want to make sure that this Bible study serves the purpose that I believe the Lord had set up for us to serve, which is that now, once we go through this, anytime you pick up any book in the Old Testament, you should be able to be like, oh, this is where Israel was on the narrative arc, and here's how she was interacting with land, descendants, and her relationship with God, and that really informs and helps me understand what's happening in this one verse or this one chapter. I now have a context that I can say, oh, I understand the book of Judges a lot better because I see where it sits in the narrative arc.
Hi there, and thanks again for joining us on Study with Friends. Today we continue our journey through the Old Testament following the covenantal promises of land, descendants, and special relationship. For this series, we are continuing through the former prophets, beginning in Judges. If you've missed our first two series or would like to get the homework, go to our website, studywithfriends.org, and search Old Testament. If you're busy and would like to take us on the go, you can stream us on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher. And if you've ever wondered what the ladies look like in action, you can check us out on YouTube. Now, let's dive into God's Word.
Who has 2 Kings 25? Oh, I decided we weren't going to read that because it's another big passage. So 2 Kings 25, 1-26 leads us out of the former prophets. And so in your homework, did you note any parallels between that 2 Kings, that last bit of 2 Kings, of the book of Kings, and any parallels between that and the Deuteronomy passage that we just read?
The prediction of disaster for the people breaking the covenant came true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I find that comforting and scary at the same time, I guess is the best way that I can describe that. Is that how that felt to you when you read it? I feel like we need a cup of coffee. How are we doing, guys? Or are we just meditating? Meditating. What's that?
I was like, I mean, we can do the coffee.
She's like, I mean, I wouldn't turn down a cup of coffee.
Sure. I can see your, like, paradox of it's scary, but, like, mm-hmm. also kind of, well, he said what he said, and we got what we got.
Yeah. So, in some ways it's scary because I'm reminded that the disasters that befall me are mostly self-made, and that's scary, you know, that I could really dig myself into a hole like that. But it's also comforting that that what God says will always come true. Mm-hmm. And even if it's not something that makes him happy, he knows it's going to happen. And comforting that he said, we're going to walk through this process anyway, because you're still my chosen people. And even though I know you're going to abandon me, we're still going to walk forward together as in this special relationship with each other. So, the two sides of the coin for me. Okay, so the next thing in the homework that I wanted to look at is how do you think, you know, looking at Deuteronomy, which leads into the former prophets, and that last bit of Kings, which takes us out of the former prophets, what do you expect to see happen inside the narrative of the former prophets? If you had never read them, what would you say is your expectation of what will occur?
They'll enjoy prosperity, and they'll become complacent, and that'll lead to apostasy, and then punishment, and then restoration.
Mm. Okay. She nailed it. Anybody else want to jump in? It's hard after Marilyn. We should make her go last.
I know, but I was going to say,
there's too much
I know, there's a quietness. Here, so that's all right. But they're just warming up. They're just warming up.
You got to do it. I kind of look at it, you know, I guess more literally, everything's copacetic, everything's great, and then constantly falling on their face, constantly picked up. There were many verses that just reminded me of, you know, a parent walking behind their children, and when they, come on, here he goes again.
When they fall, you help them up.
Let me pick him back up, you know, let me get that kind of, as intimidating as some of it sounds, you know, the doom and gloom that is foreshadowed, there's forgiveness. There's mm-hmm. constant forgiveness and acceptance.
Grace.
Right.
That's really good. Thank you for lifting that up. I'm thinking about your parallel to the kids. And you have teenagers, so you know how that plays
constant
out.
Constant lifting back up.
And even, I mean, I'm sure your boys never felt this way about you, but my girls constantly, they're out of this phase now, but especially in middle school, I was constantly ruining their life. There was constant rebellion.
Oh, yeah.
And so I can relate. I mean, I would never say I could relate to God, but that love, that unconditional love, and I'm just mm-hmm. like, I know I'm ruining your life right now.
Yeah.
It's okay. We'll get past it. Yeah. Is a little bit of a parallel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what
that,
you mean?
Yeah. That, and also just the knowing you're going to mess up. Mm-hmm. I know you're going to mess up again, even though we've had this talk mm-hmm. many, many, many times.
Yep.
And it's even written down. Mm-hmm. You are going to mess up. But we'll clean it up. We'll fix it.
That's good.
I'm not saying there's not going to be repercussions, but, you know,
that's so good.
I'll accept you.
And love you.
Right.
It seemed like you wanted to add to that.
I see the parallel. The kids, mm-hmm. the parallel with the kids. I don't have kids. But
right. But you
I can
are
see
a kid.
Well, yeah.
You have parents.
But maybe that goes to say that, like, you don't need kids to understand it because it's
oh,
not.
No.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's yeah. just reality. Like, I experience right. the same thing from God. So it's a good mm-hmm. parallel. And mm-hmm. it's like everything is true about that. Being, I guess you could draw it with a zillion different things, like with your friends, with, you know, whoever, like your husband, wife.
Anybody you're in a relationship
right.
that you are unconditionally in that relationship right. with. Could be family, extended family, parents, mm-hmm. cousins, people that you, yeah, siblings, that's true.
Oh, well, true,
students.
Think about
oh,
it.
Oh, I thought you said
students,
siblings.
But think about it. You know, whoever is in your zone.
Yeah, you're so,
you know,
another
at that
country
particular
heard from.
I'm currently not employed. So that's my zone.
You're home?
I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. So that's the, you know.
That's where these parallels raise up for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, siblings yeah. is a good one.
My gosh, yeah.
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 Okay, so let's put a finer point on the thematic thread. So if we think about what Marilyn said, which is right, this what we expect to see in the former prophets. Can you put these expectations into the context of our theme, land descendants and a special relationship with God? And maybe you think about the Pentateuch section, but can you think about how, let's pull a little bit more, in a more defined way, let's pull the theme out. Let's not impose the theme on the study. Let's allow the theme to raise up if God's word, if what we are saying about the covenants and these themes is true, let's see where it raises up from our expectations of the former prophets. We already covered one, which was land.
Right.
So they're going into the land, and then they're going to get kicked out of the land. That I took the softball. I think that, Bella, you talked a little bit about the special relationship with God. Can you flesh that out again, just as we think more intentionally about the themes we've developed?
Wait, remind me what I said.
You said that that God turned from them, but that people turned first, so that the relationship was spoiled by the disobedience of Israel. Mm. But you said something that I repeated, which was the order in which that happened mattered.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I guess if we're tying it generally back into the thematic thing, I would go and parallel it to my own life, or not just my own life, but like people today, their lives. And I think I wrote a question. It is like kind of related, like what actions do the Israelites continue to do that makes life continuously difficult for the mm-hmm. continuing generations? Like what does generation one continually do that messes generation two up, like that sets them on a path that's not great? And then what do they do that kind of ruins it for the next? And then I guess I just kind of naturally thought, well, like, what am I doing? How does that, number one, factor in? Like, am I, this is a stretch, but like maybe if I wasn't doing my work in my major properly, even if I get a job, I'm not going to be teaching my students very well, and then they're not going to get a very good education. Mm-hmm. And so like I could say, what am I not, like, am I preparing? I don't have kids, but like I want to prepare to be like a good mom mm-hmm. to them. And sure. so like if I don't do anything, if I don't ever pray, if I don't ever do any sort of thought into that, I'm probably going to be lost mm-hmm. when they show up. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure literally anyone in here could speak to that. But, you know, I guess it's tough to take such a, like, different context and culture and, like, you know, a zillion years ago. Mm. I'm also good at Bible and bad at math. And turn it into something that's relevant.
But you just said so many things that made it relevant.
Did I? Okay, because yes. I didn't have a plan, and so I just went.
Okay. You did. And I think what we're going to see is the answers to your questions. We're going to see that, I hope, in the homework. And so remind us of that question. And okay. I think what I heard you say is, what did Israel do that created deficiency in the relationship with God?
Yeah, my wording was, like, jumbled.
And no, actually I think you did
really?
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. I actually wrote that for land, but I remember that I kind of repeated the same thing with different words for the second one.
Yes.
But yeah, it was like, what do the Israelites continue to do? And first, obviously, God doesn't mess up and then they follow suit. But what do they continue to do that is like wrongful? What do they continue to do that's opposite to what God asks of them that will set their trajectory off on a path other than what God wants it to be on?
That's perfect.
I reworded
your words
it.
Are not ties, jumbled at ties. All.
Well, that was me rewording.
Yes, that's great. And what we're seeing is this theme of land, relationship, and descendants is so right. tightly interrelated. That's why I want us to pull it apart a little bit, because it becomes, as we walk through the Pentateuch and now into the former prophets, it's so intermingled that it's actually almost, you have to be intentional about pulling these themes back apart. Right. So when you think about, did you have something you wanted to add to what Bella said?
Everything that you just said, I'm picturing descendants, mm-hmm. like running along the
I was just going there.
Line.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say.
What did you not do in your relationship with God that affected your descendants and then trickles down the hill, you know?
Yes, that affected their relationship with God.
Right.
And then affected where they were able to live.
Right.
That the land that was promised to Abraham and his descendants, somewhere along the way, leadership and descendants got lost their way, mm-hmm. and then they were ejected from the promised land. So this is, I wanted us to set that vision for the former prophets, be thinking about that, how these interplay. And I do want to pause in them, because I want to make sure that we see them, and also I want to make sure that this Bible study serves the purpose that I had set out to serve, and that I believe the Lord had set up for us to serve, which is that now, once we go through this, anytime you pick up any book in the Old Testament, you should be able to be like, oh, this is where Israel was on the narrative arc, and here's how she was interacting with land, descendants, and her relationship with God, and that really informs and helps me understand what's happening in this one verse. Or this one chapter. I now have a context that I can say, oh, I understand the book of Judges a lot better because I see where it sits in the narrative arc. Okay, so let's go ahead into Joshua. Anything else you guys want to say introductory-wise? Okay, so one of the things I want to mention is, just like we found in the Pentateuch, some books of the Old Testament and certainly of the former prophets are more easily identified with one particular part of the trifold theme. So what we just did was a really good exercise. I think it would be very easy to see that Joshua, Judge, especially Joshua, is land-driven. That Joshua really is split into three segments. The taking of the land, which is Joshua 1 to 12. The allotment of the land, where he distributes it to the tribes, and that's Joshua 13 to 21. And then the living and retaining the land, which is Joshua 22 to 24. So you can't really extricate Joshua from the land theme. But I want to also look at how we see the other themes play out in Joshua. So I'm going to try to do that in a methodical way. The first one I, the other thing I wanted to talk to you guys about when it comes to the former prophets that I highlighted it on the page and I just didn't say it. Sorry about that. I wanted to talk to you about what I call seams. Actually, I'm not the only one who calls that. Lots of Bible scholars call it themes. I shouldn't claim it like I came up with it. What we mean when we say seams are the transitions between one book and the next. And so one of the things that I really want to point out is the seam between Deuteronomy and Joshua is zero elapsed time. Zero. The book of Deuteronomy ends and the book of Joshua begins. And this is important for us because it helps us A, remember that there's a unity in the biblical narrative. There's a unity in the Old Testament. There's a unity to the former prophets that helps us receive it as a unit. And we can do that rightfully from inside the text. The text gives us permission to do that. And so I'm going to ask Caroline to read Deuteronomy 31, 1-8. And then any of you three just note what I call the close handoff.
Then Moses went and spoke these words to all the Israelites. I am now 120 years old. I cannot lead you anymore. The Lord told me I would not cross the Jordan River. The Lord your God will lead you across himself. He will destroy those nations for you. You will take over their land. Joshua will also lead you across. This is what the Lord has said. The Lord will do to these nations what he did to Sihon and Og. They were the kings of the Amorites. He destroyed them and their land. The Lord will give those nations to you. Do to them everything I told you. Be strong and brave. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be frightened. The Lord your God will go with you. He will not leave you or forget you. Then Moses called Joshua and spoke to him in front of the people. Moses said, be strong and brave. Lead these people into the land, and the Lord promised to give their ancestors. Help the people take it as their own. The Lord himself will go before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forget you. Don't be afraid. Don't worry.
So if I say note the close handoff, what am I talking about?
There's not much of a break between that last chapter and the first of
Mm-hmm. And who's Moses handing off leadership to?
Joshua.
Right. And so he's saying, I won't lead you. The Lord will lead you. Mm-hmm. Very important. Mm-hmm. Because he's reminding Israel, the Lord was really the leader all along. And this is going to become so important as we walk into the former prophets and especially the monarchy. So Moses says, I will not lead you. The Lord will lead you. Joshua will also lead you. And so he's handing it off directly to Joshua. Bella, would you read Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 to 12? And what I want to look at there is a little bit about the land theme. And then, Marilyn, would you follow up immediately with Deuteronomy 19, 1 and 2?
And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery.
Deuteronomy 19, 1 and 2. When the Lord your God has destroyed the nations whose land he is giving you, and when you have driven them out and settled in their towns and houses, then set aside for yourselves three cities centrally located in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess.
So what is the message there? What is God really saying?
Move in and take over.
And don't?
Pick up any bad habits from the people that lived here before.
Specifically.
Don't forget that it was God who got you there.
Yes. Thank you. Don't forget me. I'm going to give you a land you didn't create, cisterns you did not dig, homes you did not build. Like, I'm giving you this gift. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. Okay. the next sections are where God prophesies again. And I want us to just see that even back as far as Exodus and Numbers, we see prophecy about what will happen when we come into the land. And then I don't want to get too deep into the homework because we did this work in the homework, but we looked at Exodus 23, verse 23 to 30, which I'm going to have Caroline read. And then Bella, if you would read Numbers 33, 50 to 56. And then I'll just refer in the homework, Joshua 6:24, 8:28, and 11:13 as fulfillments of what God is saying in these Exodus and Numbers passages. So look for the homework or make a quick note of what I just said. Go ahead, Caroline.
Okay. Exodus 23:23 to 30. My angel will go ahead of you. He will take you into the land of these people, the Amorites, Hittites, I'm going to destroy these names, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites.
Just do what feels right.
And Jebusites.
You're doing great, actually.
Thanks. And I will destroy them. You must not bow down to their gods or worship those gods. You must not live the way these people live. You must destroy their idols. And you must break into pieces stone pillars they use in worship. You must worship the Lord your God. If you do, I will bless your water and your bread. I will take sickness away from you. None of your women will have her baby die before it's born. All women will have children. I will allow you to live long lives. I will make your enemies afraid of me. I will confuse any people you fight against. I will make all of your enemies run away from you. I will send something like hornets ahead of you. They will force the Hivites, Canaanites, and Hittites out of your way. But I will not force all those people out in only one year. If I did, the land would become a desert. Then the wild animals would become too many for you. Instead, I will force those people out of your land very slowly. I will wait until there are enough of you to take over the land.
Before you read your passage, Bella, there was one. And is there anything that jumped out of that passage for you? Because I wrote one thing down, and then when you read it again, something else lifted out for me. So I'm going to let you guys go first, and then I'll tell you what reflections I had on that passage. That's okay. What I was asking is, did anything jump out at you from Caroline's passage?
God was cleansing the land, wiping out the old inhabitants, and trying to fill it with new inhabitants who knew him,
mm-hmm.
and
That's
who
good.
Would hopefully follow his.
That's good.
His direction.
That's good.
Right. It wasn't just that he was just saying, follow the Lord your God,
mm-hmm.
you know, follow the commandments, don't follow their idols, but it was destroy their idols, break
mm-hmm.
everything into pieces, just
That's
tear.
Good. That's
it
good.
Was literally go in and pillage.
By the way, we'll also see that really a ton in the book of Kings, and how each of the kings is judged by whether they tore down the high places. And when it says he didn't tear down the high places, what it's talking about is the high places is the community would always put at the highest point in their community the altars to the god they were worshiping. So what they mean by the high places is tearing down the altars to the other gods. And so that's spot on.
Always so thankful for how timeless and timely God's Word is. Thanks again for joining us on this multi-series journey studying God's covenantal promises throughout the Old Testament. We are a weekly Bible study, just like you'll find at your local church. If you aren't in a study like this one, we encourage you to join one. Make sure that the church is teaching from the Bible in every situation. In Matthew 10, Jesus sent out his disciples to preach the gospel, instructing them, "Freely you have received, freely give." We take that command serious here at Study with Friends, so we have created tons of resources on our website that are all free for you to use. They're at studywithfriends.org. Much like the disciples who relied on the generosity of a host, we are 100% donor supported. If you have been particularly blessed by our ministry, would you consider making a donation? Monthly partners are especially helpful to us, and no amount is too small. If you are willing to give it, we would be grateful and blessed to have it. You can donate on our website one time or become a monthly partner. That's at studywithfriends.org/donate. We would love to connect with you and hear how your walk is going. We also love to get prayer requests from you. You can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Or if you prefer, you can email us at info@studywithfriends.org. Remember, you can stream us on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher. Plus, you can now see our studies on YouTube. No matter which way you choose, we hope that you will connect with us. For now, we hope you'll join us next time when we study with friends.